Welcome back to the Deep Dive. This is where you send us the source material, and, well, we get into it, unpack it, and pull out the key insights for you.
Exactly. We sift through it all, trying to figure out what really matters, and hopefully spark some thinking along the way.
And today, we've got something really interesting. It's excerpts from the 2024 annual report from the Third Ward Real Estate Council.
Right. So our goal here, our mission for this deep dive, is to see how this specific group tackles some really big urban issues, you know, things like housing affordability, revitalizing neighborhoods, making sure opportunities are fair, and how they do that specifically through the lens of real estate development, or pulling out their main achievements and the sort of core ideas from their 2024 work based on this report you gave us.
Now, what's interesting, and it's actually mentioned in this report, is this connection to another local initiative.
Yeah, the source material itself mentions something called Think and Act Locally. It describes it as a podcast focused on residents in Deer Park, LaPorte, and Pasadena, Texas.
Right down the southeast Houston area.
Yeah.
And the report notes why it's mentioned. It's about empowering people there, giving them information they can actually use to make their communities better. Local impact stuff.
Mm-hmm. It's presented almost as like a parallel effort in this broader theme of empowering local action that runs through the council's report. And it mentions, you know, if you value that kind of work,
you can support it. thinkandactlocally.com/donate, which makes sense in the context of this report, right? Supporting local efforts. We'll put that link in the show notes, of course.
Yeah, it fits. It shows how their work connects to a bigger picture of community action.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's dive into the council's report itself. Maybe start with the director's note.
Good idea. The director really emphasizes this idea of convening with purpose in 2024, and this phrase, showing, not telling.
Less talk, more tangible results. And the report is specific about who they brought to the table. You've got city agencies, small and mid-sized developers, local nonprofits, and even national experts, these thought leaders. It's quite a deliberate mix of players.
Seems like it. And the report ties bringing them together directly to tackling those big challenges we mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
Affordability, revitalization, equitable opportunity.
Exactly. And then there's that quote they include from the Brookings Institution. It feels really key to their whole approach.
Which one is that?
It says, place-based investment strategies are critical for advancing inclusive economic growth, particularly when they are led by local actors and tailored to neighborhood scale.
Okay, yeah. Led by local actors and neighborhood scale. That really stands out.
It does. And the report basically positions the council's work as putting that idea into practice. It's all about creating this ecosystem where ideas actually turn into action because it's driven locally and fits the neighborhood.
So it's not just about what gets built, but really who's driving it and how it fits the community.
Precisely. And later on, the report talks about their core identity, stating flat out that their practice is community development through real estate. The real estate part is the tool, not just the end product.
Interesting. Okay, so let's look at their mission and vision then. What are those broader community goals they're using real estate to achieve?
Well, the mission is stated as creating equitable opportunities in real estate development itself. And they do that through education, making sure there's access to capital, and pushing for responsible development. You know, development that actually benefits the community.
And the vision?
The vision described is pretty powerful. It talks about a third ward whose economic future matches its rich history. But it gets specific. They envision a future where the kids of today's local developers become the next generation owning and managing wealth and land within the community itself.
Wow, that's really thinking long term, keeping that wealth local, generationally.
Exactly. It's about building lasting community assets, not just short-term projects.
Okay, so let's see how that vision plays out in the actual highlights from the year. Convening and collaboration seems like a big part of it.
Definitely. The report points to the Lost Spaces Conference as a key example. They brought together, what, over 150 leaders from different sectors?
Again, that list of who came really shows that intentional ecosystem building you mentioned. City agencies, private companies, universities, big names like ULI, local groups like Houston Southeast Management District.
Right. All the relevant players. And the theme for 2024 was mobilization. So moving to action.
Did it work? What did the report say came out of it?
It points to some concrete things. A tactical plan was catalyzed. They developed four new toolkits and pilot policies specifically for neighborhood scale infill projects, making those smaller projects easier to do.
Okay, that sounds practical.
And crucially, they forged two public-private partnerships designed specifically to unlock capital money for these kinds of projects.
So not just meetings, but actual tools and funding pathways. The report also mentions other ongoing things, like a boot camp.
Yeah, the Bridge to Action boot camp, plus regular meetups and technical help. And these weren't just theoretical. The report says this support helped launch or scale up 13 actual neighborhood development projects.
13 projects in the Third Ward and nearby areas? That feels substantial at the neighborhood level.
It does. And the report even touches on why these different groups get involved, their motivations.
Oh, yeah. What does it say?
It describes the small to mid-scale developers as looking for access and impact. The nonprofit leaders are seeking pathways to ownership and inclusion.
Makes sense.
Public agencies are positioned as ready to listen and enact better code policy, which is interesting. And academia provides the data to sort of validate what they're doing.
It's fascinating how they seem to weave these different needs together. Does the report suggest it's like easy to get everyone pulling in the same direction?
It doesn't really dwell on the challenges, more on the success of bringing them together. It paints the council as that key connector, the facilitator making sure those diverse motivations lead to collective action that actually helps the neighborhood.
Okay, that makes sense. Which leads us to the results, the tangible impact, and the investment numbers. What does showing, not telling, look like on the balance sheet?
Well, the report highlights over $1.7 million in leveraged investment. That money went directly into supporting infill commercial and residential projects.
$1.7 million. And what about those vacant lots you often see?
They mentioned tackling that too, working with public agencies, experts, community coalitions. The report says they helped clear and reactivate over 40 blighted lots.
40? That's a visible difference on the ground.
For sure. And again, it points to partnerships making that possible. They also launched something called the Economic Park Program.
Right, I saw that. That's about activating unused commercial spaces for local businesses, like incubators.
Pretty much. Taking empty storefronts or lots and making them productive.
Yeah.
And the report notes that even in its initial phase, that program generated $12,000 in revenue for small businesses involved.
So turning dead space into active income-generating space for locals.
Nice.
Yeah. But it's not just about the physical stuff or the money. The report also talks about building capacity and working on policy.
How so?
Well, engagement numbers. They reach over 250 people in 2024 through education, mentorship, leadership development, both online and in person. Building that pipeline of local people who can do this work.
Developing the human capital, essentially.
Exactly. And on the policy side, which is often a huge barrier, the report notes 15 hours spent specifically on coalition building between policymakers and practitioners, trying to get the rules changed to support this kind of development.
That's crucial. And they did engagement exercises, too.
Yeah, three exercises focused on getting community input on neighborhood character and design standards, which feeds right back into that responsible development piece of their mission, making sure new stuff fits in.
Okay, this all seems to circle back to their core identity, their philosophy. How does the report spell that out?
It frames their fundamental approach as advancing equitable revitalization. And the key mechanism is empowering BIPOC developers, Black, Indigenous, and people of color to lead the infill development process.
And the goals behind that specific focus?
The report lists them clearly. Preserving the existing culture, building local wealth within the community, and activating land that's just sitting there unused. These are huge issues in neighborhoods facing change.
Absolutely. Displacement, economic exclusion, outside speculation.
Right. The report says they use their tools to tackle those things head on. And the way they do it is by designing development processes that keep community ownership at the center of growth. That phrase comes up again.
They call it the development vertical at work. It sounds like they're trying to integrate everything, finance, design, policy, community voice, but all through this specific equity lens.
That's exactly the picture it paints. It's not just facilitating deals. It's about shaping the whole system to get equitable outcomes, making sure the benefits stay local and build the community's future.
So what's next for them? Does the report look ahead?
It does give a glimpse. They plan to continue the Economic Park Program, activating those spaces.
Oh.
And the Developer Accelerator Program, which connects local developers to capital, resources, best practices, helping them grow responsibly.
Makes sense. Build on what's working. Any big events planned?
Yep. They've already set the date for the next Lost Spaces Conference, June 6th to 8th, 2025.
Okay, planning ahead.
And the report also lists other ongoing stuff, their annual members luncheon, more technical assistance activations, policy labs, another round of the Bridge to Action Developer Bootcamp. They're keeping the momentum going.
And finally, the report seems to end with a call to action. an invitation.
Yeah, it's framed as an invitation to funders, members, potential partners, basically anyone interested to join a movement that's rewriting the rules of neighborhood revitalization.
Strong statement.
And the director's final thought is about growing their capacity to build a third ward that's, quote, prosperous, protective of its culture, and a model of equitable development for the nation, setting a high bar.
And for people or organizations thinking about supporting this specific model, the report lays out the why sponsor points.
Right. It mentions things like exclusive access, aligning your brand with goals like economic equity and sustainability, and funding tangible impact, like activating those vacant lots, incubating businesses, empowering local ownership.
They also mention audience engagement, like social media reach, mainly targeting the 25-44 age group.
And if someone is interested in sponsoring or just finding out more, the report gives the contact info for Brittany Hyman, the director. The phone is 832-875-3843, and email is brittany@relincllc.com.
Okay, so wrapping up our deep dive on this 2024 annual report from the Third Ward Real Estate Council. It really lays out a pretty detailed case study, doesn't it?
It really does. It shows how a focused, community-led approach to real estate, when you view it as a tool for community building, can actually be a powerful way to tackle some really complex city problems and build local wealth and opportunity at the same time.
Yeah, the emphasis throughout the report on local actors sticking to the neighborhood scale and really centering community ownership, those principles come through loud and clear.
It's a practical example of that place-based investment idea, but specifically led by and for the community itself.
So maybe a final thought for you, the listener, to chew on. As you hear about a model like this one, really focused on equitable results and local leadership, how might that spark ideas for your own area? How could the power of place-based action create opportunities for impact right where you are?
And connecting back to that information found within the source report itself, if you find value in this kind of community-focused work, remember there are ways to support it. Like the Think and Act Locally podcast, working to empower residents in Deer Park, LaPorte, and Pasadena with actionable info. You can support that effort at thinkandactlocally.com/onimate. The link's in the show notes.